You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. We're going to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline now and bring in Fox Sports 1's NFL insider, Mike Garofalo. Mike, thanks for joining us here today.
You got it, guys. How you doing?
Good. Josh McCown, you did a great hit, I thought, on your understanding of the Browns' rationale for bringing in Josh McCown. What do you think overall of that signing? And now, in light of the fact that Buffalo's gone out and traded for Matt Cassel?
Cassel has kind of been a target. Not kind of. Cassel has been a target for them for a while. The only question was whether Minnesota was going to let him go, because I know that he did want some kind of established presence behind Teddy Bridgewater, but then at some point you say, you know, can we get some value for this guy, and also maybe can we save some salary a little bit here and there? So I think that kind of held up the whole thing a little bit, because everybody kind of wanted to see what they were going to do. But when it came down to it, you know, Buffalo did make a push for McCown, and I think it's a good spot for him in Cleveland, because, you know, I know a lot of people think very highly of John DeFilippo, and I know him from the time that he was the quality control coach with the Giants, and I was covering the team, and he's always been considered a bright young mind. But, you know, your first time as offensive coordinator, it's always going to be a challenge. So to have a guy like McCown, who is a coach in waiting, so to speak, and by that I mean that he's had offers to become an NFL coach in the past, and he turned them down. To be able to work with that guy in your first time as coordinator is huge. And obviously, for Johnny Manziel, and what I tweeted out the other day was, you know, if he's ready, if he's willing to accept some guidance, there's plenty to be had from Josh McCown.
From what you've heard, Mike, in kind of studying this quarterback market, was McCown pretty much the consensus for the people who needed a quarterback, the top guy on their list, and then they went from there once he was off?
No, I mean, I heard varying degrees of that. And some teams had these guys rated, you know, like I do think that Buffalo did have Castle rated very, very highly. But I you know, Josh McCown was up there. The only issue with some teams with Josh McCown was they thought, well, he went down to Tampa, he wasn't really a success as a starter there. Yeah, but that was a situation down there, what with, you know, all of the issues with the offensive coaching staff and just that team not being as successful as many thought they were going to be after an active free agency last year. And just every week with him having to help install and finesse the game plan each week, because their offensive coordinator, or the man who was supposed to be their offensive coordinator, Jeff Tedford, was on medical leave, and everything was kind of in the hands of Marcus Arroyo, and you've got a defensive head coach. So I think some people were able to see through that. I think the Browns were able to see through that. I do expect that they believe that if Josh McCown is a starter week one, that he'll have a degree of success much closer to what he did in Chicago than what he did last year at Tampa.
Mike, do you believe that the Cleveland Browns are done at the quarterback position, and that Josh McCown is their guy, along with Johnny Manziel, hoping to get to right the ship coming out of treatment this offseason, or are they going to be active at some point to add competition to that room?
I could see them adding somebody in the draft. I just don't know if you add it very high up. If you're asking me about free agency, I would expect that they're done at that point. I mean, maybe some kind of journeyman veteran to get in there, but obviously not a strong push for, you know, I want to say the top guys in the market, like somebody like a Mark Sanchez. I can't see that happening now that they've signed Josh McCown. But, you know, if there's a mid-round quarterback that you're kind of eyeing and you think you can take a shot at him and have him come in and compete with Manziel, because if you can push Manziel from both ends, you know, have a veteran that could start right away, and then here's a young guy that we think we can develop, I think that's probably the best situation. That might be what I would do. I wouldn't necessarily spend a high draft pick on that. I would, again, look for something in the middle rounds. But, you know, if they did that, it wouldn't surprise me. And I would understand where they're coming from, and I'd probably support it.
What do you think the market is going to look like for Brian Hoyer now, as many people thought after he wasn't coming back to the Browns that the Bills would be the best chance for him to come in and be a starter? Does it seem like wherever he has to go now, he'll have to compete? And how's he being viewed right now around the league?
Yeah, I think he's a backup, and, you know, last year was his chance to compete as a starter, and it's quite okay in this league to be a backup and make a lot of money for a number of years. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck was going to retire and got $3 million from the Colts to hang around for one more year and play behind one of the more reliable, consistent quarterbacks in young quarterbacks in the league right now, and Andrew Luck. That's good work, if you can get it. And,
yeah.
So, you know, it's okay to be that backup and be put in a good situation and work. I know he's competitive. I know he wants to be a starter. But right now, now you have the chance to go in and be a backup in a good situation. You know, you want to go back and work with Teddy Bridgewater and be a part of Minnesota and maybe, you know, have a chance to play here and there. Or, you know, do you want to go and shine as a backup behind a more reliable veteran guy and maybe learn from him, maybe learn from a guy who's been around for a while? You know, that's the way that I would look at it. I wouldn't necessarily, if I'm Brian Hoyer, go out and say, well, where's my best chance to take a snap in 2015? I think it would be, where can I be somewhere for a number of years or even, again, learn from somebody who knows how to get it done?
Mike, the Cleveland Browns, of course, with Josh McCown, have been active in free agency. I don't believe they're going to be big spenders in that initial wave once free agency opens. But do you think the Cleveland Browns are going to go out and add value and add competition to this locker room at any other position? And if so, what player names are out there that you think the Cleveland Browns would be at stake for?
I think the wide receiving core has to be upgraded, especially with the Josh Gordon situation, which is just so disappointing, honestly, because you heard so much about how he'd learned his lessons and all this stuff. And I actually had people say, you know what, I don't know if he's really turned a corner. He's still hanging around with the same crowd. And, you know, hopefully he makes smart decisions. And he did. And I understand his explanation for it. But, again, I it's just disappointing knowing the talent level there. So now, you know, whether it's Johnny Manziel or Josh McCown as your quarterback, you need to kind of come have some targets here. And I know that, you know, Brian Hartline is in the mix there. And, you know, one of the other names mentioned was Cecil Shorts with the Jaguars, sure. who's an Ohio guy. I would expect that there would be some communication between the sides there. I'm just not so sure that that Shorts is. I think he's. I actually talked to him, and he's looking for somewhere that's been, you know, more of a established kind of place with established offense, where the Browns are more of an upstart type of deal. So I don't know if that's necessarily going to work out in the end there. But I absolutely believe that the upgrades need to be made at the wide receiver position for sure.
Talking with Fox Sports 1's NFL insider Mike Garofalo. Mike, the trade went down yesterday. LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso. Your assessment of that deal?
Chip Kelly better know what he's doing here. That's for sure. I mean, because now – and Todd Herriman's actually hit it right on the head earlier in the day when he said that you know, Chip Kelly values the offensive line and values the quarterback position and everything else. The system will kind of take care of it. I think it's a little dangerous because in this league, if you've got a dynamic player like LeSean McCoy or, you know, even Jeremy Maclin right now, who they haven't re-signed, I think you got to value what those guys bring to the table. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see now, because LeSean McCoy didn't have the greatest season last year, but I thought he was okay. And I thought that he was playing through some things. He was hurt a little bit. He wasn't as north-south as Chip Kelly would have liked. But you let that guy go, and now let's say he goes and does big things in Buffalo. You're going to have to answer for that, especially with the power play that Chip Kelly moved there. So that they made the move in Philadelphia. So I think that's a dangerous one right there for Chip Kelly. And again, he better be right. I mean, I do think you got a fantastic player in Kiko Alonso coming off an ACL. I get it, but an ACL isn't what an ACL used to be.
Right.
This isn't a patella tear. I would expect that Alonso is going to return to form, if not by later this year, certainly by next season. So it's a move for the long haul. I think he's a fantastic young player who can cover. You need guys that can cover, and he can do that from that position. So I like the move from the Eagles' end. I don't know if I love it from the Bills' end. I do like it from the Eagles' end.
Talking with Mike Garofalo, Fox Sports 1 NFL Insider. Mike, with Chip Kelly clearly in charge there, do you think that he's absolutely going to go all in to get Marcus Mariota? And do you think the Browns could be maybe a third team sitting at number 12 that could perhaps help him get there? And do you think Nick Foles is on the market, maybe involved in a deal to help them get Mariota?
He's got to go high to make it happen. So I think you got to jump way past 12. I just believe that at this point, anything's possible with this guy. And he's going to do it. He's going to do it fast. And that trade yesterday was like a fantasy football trade, from what I gather. It was done in less than a half an hour from start to finish. And Chip Kelly, hey, I want this guy. Call around. You want this guy? Okay, good. There wasn't any high-low ball type deals. A lot of times teams will start low, and then they'll revisit it, and finally they'll meet in the middle. There wasn't any of that, and this thing was done extremely quickly, and this guy's aggressive, and he might be playing fantasy football, and it seems almost too far left of center based on what you know on the NFL to work, but this is his style, and maybe it's his way of doing things that will work on this level. So that's a long way of me saying I don't rule it out, and at this point I think he's going to at least try. I think he's going to at least try to make the strong move and give up. You know, we saw with the Saints gave up for Ricky Williams years ago. That was very ill-advised, but you know, if you're going to go out and you're going to go make a move for a quarterback and you're going to make a strong move, I wouldn't put it past this guy to do it right now. Would not do that at all.
I agree with you, Mike. The Cleveland Browns are one of the most exciting teams in the upcoming draft, having two first-round draft picks at 12 and 19. You talked about the needed wide receiver, whether it be met via free agency, but also two in the first round. Do you believe that the Browns' direction at 12 and 19 will solely be determined by what happens in front of them and who's available as they take the best player at the spot, or do we go out and get one position of need, which wide receiver would be one of them?
Well, after last year when they didn't address the wide receiver spot of need, quote-unquote, that people saw there and went and took what they believed were best players available, I would think that's going to continue to be the philosophy, and I like that. I mean, I'm okay with a team doing that. You start to reach in the draft, especially in the first round, for positions of need, and if you got a cluster of guys and you got three guys and one of them's at a position of need, well, then you make the move. But if you want to sit there and say, you know, hey, we value this guy high, we know we've got a hole over here, but we value this guy right now and he's the best player on the board, and take him, go for it. And I would expect that Ray Farmer would continue to do that.
Mike, when you look at this Browns organization, how close do you think they are right now to becoming a playoff team? Do you think that, you know, a lot of it is made about the dysfunction here, the disarray here, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think about this Browns team and where they are and where they stand and how poised they are to make a positive step?
It's got the makings of another transition year. It really does. I mean, you know, I think Josh McCown's going to be better than he was in Tampa Bay, but, you know, I don't know that he's a guy that's a playoff caliber quarterback at this point. You know, it's the difference between throwing to a wide receiver core that's TBD in basically right now to Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall a couple of years ago. So I do see a team still working to form the base here, to find some chemistry, to see what they're going to get out of Johnny Manziel. So it's going to be a tough division, as it always is. So it's tough for me to put them in the playoff race right now. I mean, obviously we'll see what happens over the coming days, weeks, and months, but it's going to be tough for this to be considered a playoff team by a lot of people going into the season.
Last one, have you heard anything? We heard Brian Hartline today is deciding between the Browns or the Bears. Have you heard anything on that front?
Nothing finalized yet. I do know that that the Browns seem to be making a strong move on that one, but, you know, it's again, that perception of, do I want to go play for a team that I think could be a playoff team, or do I want to go help kind of rebuild something at the age of, I believe he's 27 or 28 right now? You know, so I don't want to predict which way Brian Hartline is going to go right there, but I do believe that, yeah, I think a decision is going to come soon on him. I don't know if it'll be today, but I do believe it's going to come soon.
That was Mike Garofalo. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike Garofalo from Fox Sports 1. Good to meet you at the Combine, and thanks for coming on the show, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon in the future.
You got it.
All right. When we come back, we'll wrap up our first hour here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Andrew Gribble will be with us to kick off our second hour. So any of your comments, calls, tweets, thoughts, 216-578-0850, now's the time to get them in. Garofalo, pretty positive on the quarterback market. It seems like things have changed dramatically at that quarterback position in the landscape in the NFL in just a couple of days as Josh McCown has signed, and now the Bills have traded for Matt Castle. A couple big dominoes falling there and the impact that that has. Let's still talk about this trade, the value of running backs, etc. going forward. You got Gibbs on one side of it, and of course, you've got where me and I think Matt Wilhelm are on the other side of it.
You're both right.
Yes. We're both right, and I know Tony Romo's a terrible quarterback, Gibbs. You have lots of great hot take. Gibbs hot take.
Let's see how good Tony Romo is without a running game next year.
Because he's never been good before? I mean, it's just crazy.
It's average.
Unbelievable. I'm telling you right now, if the Browns had Tony Romo, there'd be statues of him all over the city.
I agree.
All over this.
And you would love it, Gibbs.
And you'd have Gibbs, you'd have eight
jerseys.
You'd
have the jersey.
You'd have like
punch him in
you'd
the
have
junk.
The salute to service variation
and
jersey.
The president of the fan club.
You'd have, yeah. You would be a Romosexual. There's no question.
We should go to break on that.
All right. We'll be back with more CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR. Everything that kills me makes me feel alive.